Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres, Nick. Yeah. Looks like we might have a team this year.
Yeah, we got an airless Padres.
It's amazing.
Defensive juggernaut that we've all deserved for a very long time. I'm excited. Yeah, as of right now, we are 13 games airless. The Padres are beating the Reds, I think, still.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. I have the game on. I can actually see it. I feel like I'm in a real studio tonight. Yeah.
Well, we have a very special guest, Jim Russell from 1360, the John and Jim show.
What's up, guys?
Between 3 and 6. Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Thanks for coming. Welcome.
On. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Appreciate you asking me to come on.
Yeah. It's just first time's always a special one for our guests. And we'd love to have you back. Covering San Diego sports every day for 3 hours. How great is it to have baseball not locked out and thriving?
Well, it's good for content purposes. I mean, we were sick of talking about stupid rumors that weren't even true. We were tired of talking about stupid lockouts. Baseball is our bread and butter, and it's like everyone in town. If you don't talk Padres and you're not watching the Padres, I don't know what else you're talking about. So yeah, good to have the Padres back for sure.
Yeah. So what's your early feeling about the first 2 weeks of the season? The Padres, they haven't hit incredibly well, but the pitching and defense has been out of control.
Yes. So I'm tempered my excitement because normally I'd be probably ecstatic the way it's going, but I can't tell yet if like Arizona and the Reds are just really bad, you know, or if the Padres are actually good. So I'm tempering my excitement because we're not hitting. Tonight we're hitting quite well. I think Myers actually got a double or something, which is amazing. But our pitching just feels like if the staff can stay healthy and we can get who's not healthy, healthy, it feels like we could be invincible. I mean, Darvish opened the season with like 6 hitless, hitless innings. It's bizarre how good our pitching is being a Padres fan. You know, we're not used to this.
And Jim, you've been doing a post game show on YouTube, right? With your partner, and that's really cool. I listened to the one last night where you guys were talking about Sean Manaea.
I'm sorry that you listened to that. I apologize.
Hey. that was really, I think it echoed what a lot of people are feeling is like this guy, Sean Manaea, is just absolutely amazing. I mean, he's everything we wanted.
Right. He's everything that Padres fans hoped Blake Snell would be when he came over here.
Right. Right.
Like, top of the rotation guy that gives you innings, you know, his stuff I think isn't as good as Blake Snell, but still it gives you innings, works fast, throws strikes, you know, has good stuff. And so far, like we talked about today, you know, I know it's only a 12 games into this season, but I'm already looking at next year. Like, man, Sean Manaea, Musgrove, those guys are up for contracts. Like, what are they going to do? Cause for me, Sean Manaea, I think he's the real deal, and it would behoove Preller to try to keep Manaea and Musgrove together for sure.
Yeah, that trade just kind of came together right at the end of the offseason, and it was like, oh, now we have Sean Manaea.
Could you imagine if they didn't have Manaea right now? I know it's only 12 games in, but like for the entirety of a season, you're dealing with whatever Snell's dealing with. Musgrove is coming back from second Tommy John. You're dealing with a rookie in Mackenzie Gore. Musgrove's your ace. Darvish is really good. But other than that, like, man, without Manaea, I'd be like, oh, man, it'd be kind of in the offense they have right now. So, yeah, that Manaea deal was massive.
Yeah, I said, give us all the A's. Just give us all the A's.
Everyone's
got one
over with Melvin.
They got one A. That was good.
Yeah, but it's really cool to see him pitching so well when he came from the A's last season with the same manager, and it's really a seamless transition, right? I mean, it feels like he's very comfortable in this role. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you is probably, you know, he got the opening day start, but I mean, we don't know how his back is going to hold up. He's 37 years old. It seems like Sean Manaea is really the centerpiece of this rotation. What were you going to say, Travis? Sorry.
I was just going to say there was a lot of talk of, well, what do we need him for with Sunshine and everyone else? You know, maybe he's a trade piece. That's why Preller did this. And like you said, now he's kind of like the centerpiece of the rotation. It's strange how in 1 month so much can change within that lineup, the rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of Padres fans are asking the question, like, you know, are we really counting Clevinger as something to count on for the rest of the season? I mean, that's a tough one for two Tommy Johns, and he's already not playing. I don't know.
It feels like such an unfulfilled prophecy, though, if he never does, because he's never really pitched for us at all. Like maybe one or two games, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a couple games. The one game he pitched against the Giants in 2020, pitched a shutout. It was only a 7-inning game. I remember that very vividly. And then after that, he got hurt.
Right.
He pitched well tonight in El Paso. But I think with whatever you get from Clevinger this year is like a cherry on top. Like to expect him to be, you know, a guy that's going to give you consistent 6 to 7 innings. That's tough, man. For a guy coming off two Tommy Johns, that's tough.
What about Snell also? I mean, this idea that we're going to get like a complete season from Snell. I mean, we haven't obviously because he's already been out, but yeah, I think he's going to be okay, Travis.
I keep trying to silence my phone and I'm hitting all the wrong buttons. For the listeners, so sorry.
Travis is playing Simon right now. Just kidding. It's okay. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, is Snell somebody that you can really count on? I mean, even if he is healthy, it's, you know, he's only giving you 5 innings probably, but I don't know. It just sucks
because the dude has probably the best stuff on the team. Like I would argue he has the best stuff on the team when he has command. I would argue he has some of the best stuff in all of baseball when he has command. But, you know, when you say when has command, you know, that's not a good thing to say for a pitcher. Like, so Blake Snell, I mean, it is what it is. He's take out his Cy Young Award year. I don't like doing that, but you take it out. He's an average pitcher. He doesn't pitch above 120 innings a year, which is hard. But at least they have, you know, they're 6-7 deep, which they weren't last year. And this year they can deal with Blake Snell maybe not, you know, pitching for a full season.
Yeah, and a lot of this becomes easier to deal with if Mackenzie Gore takes a rotation spot and really stays up here and makes it work. I mean, what did you think about his first start? That went about as well as it could go, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, I went to the game and instantly he looked like he belonged, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest things. Like his stuff's going to be there. It's his first major league start. Like, dude, probably he's freaking out.
How do you control those nerves? I have no idea.
Exactly. You don't. You're like, oh my God, I'm pitching on a Friday night at Petco Park. My first major league start. I'm one of the top prospects in this organization. Everyone expects me to be the next, you know, Clayton Kershaw. Like, oh my God. And I thought he looked pretty good for all things considered against that lineup. Fastball looked good. His secondary pitches weren't like great, but I mean, what do you expect the first start? It's going to get better. He looked like he belonged. And that to me was like the biggest thing.
Yes. Yeah. And it looked like he was really going after people. Like he wasn't really afraid of the major league hitters. You know, it was pretty spectacular to watch. I mean, what was the vibe like in the stadium? There's something more. He means something to a lot of Padres fans, I think, because the season that, you know, got his draft pick was a rough one. You should read some of the descriptions of some of the podcasts that we released during that time. It's like, wow, that was a dark.
Wasn't that the year that like Houston Street or something in the last game of the year blew a lead and it got the Padres the third pick or something? I forget what it was, but
it was something like that. It was like the 17 season where they're just garbage. And
it was towards the end of
the year. And they got the third pick and he had one of the worst, you know. I think what's crazy about him is that he had probably about the worst development period you could have being, you know, doing it in a pandemic where,
right,
you know, you can't really, yeah. I mean, I think everybody in that situation, like even, you know, CJ Abrams, a lot of his development has been, you know, weird. And You know, that's another guy we should talk about is CJ Abrams. Like, you know, he hasn't really hit so far, but I don't know. I think he's going to be a player. It's obvious, right?
Yeah. First of all, the vibe at the park on Friday, you could feel the buzz. Like, okay, Mackenzie Gore, for, you know, your number one or two prospect in baseball, he's back. Like, it was a finally type of moment, I felt like. And, you know, the game wasn't great. Offense sucked. And I think, you know, they lost the game in the bullpen late in the innings. But the vibe was good. And I think, you know, everybody just wants these guys to succeed because along with CJ Abrams, and Preller's never had a player that he drafted come up through the system and be like a guy, right? He's always traded him away, and then they become a guy with the other team. He's never drafted a pitcher that has been developed through the system and come up and like really shine. Same thing with the position player. Like, you could argue Tatis. I'll give him Tatis because he never played a game in minors before he got traded. So
yeah.
These him, McGore, and Abrams, like, those are two big guys that they need to hit on, especially for Preller. And I think they both look like they belong. Abrams, though, maybe a little more time in the minors, but Gore for sure, like, he's got to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know what else Gore could learn at AAA. He just needs to be in front of major league hitters and in those stadiums, right, doing it. You know, Abrams, yeah, I think you're right. I think Abrams is... Maybe I got really excited by the spring. I mean, everybody did. It was just,
everyone did.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably the best contact hitting prospect that they've had since, I don't know, should I say Tony Gwynn or something like that? Like, he's such a pure hitter, but yeah, I don't know. It seems like he's just, they know how to pitch to him at this level. They've kind of figured out what his weaknesses are, and he needs to just clean that up.
But, I mean, he's only had 350 something plate appearances in the minors,
right?
I don't know if you guys knew this, but a crazy stat that I heard: Tatis right now at this point in time has more at bats in the minors than he has in the majors.
That's
like,
amazing.
Think about
that's
that.
Wild. That's totally wild.
Yeah. So well, yeah.
If you think if Myers keeps hitting the way he does, don't they kind of have to give Abrams more reps out there? It feels like their hand's gonna be forced. I mean, Myers is he's not doing well right now at all, and
no one's really doing that great except for
Manny. I mean, Profar was leading the team in home runs, which is surprising. Right. Hosmer is doing way better than expected. I don't know if this is just like an odd even year type thing with this guy. I don't know what to even think.
It's April Haas. Mr.
Yeah.
April.
Yeah, Mr. April.
But to me, Myers is like dead weight if he's not going to hit. And you have Abrams. You don't want him getting stale. You want him getting as many reps as possible. Kim is doing okay, especially defensively at shortstop. I don't know. It just feels like he's screaming out for playing time on a team that might have an option for him.
Right. And I think they're trying everything they can to get him as much playing time at, you know, shortstop. And I think they might even try him at second base, right field. Like, they're putting him everywhere, and I think, you know, over time he'll get it, but it's gonna be hard for him. You know, like, he's gonna have moments, he's gonna have flashes, it's just gonna be hard, and that's just what it is, and he's gonna learn maybe the hard way. But again, there are moments where you're like, okay, he belongs. In defense, the first couple games of the year, you're like, whoa.
Yes.
And, you know, the home run on opening day, first at bat, like, okay, the dude's not afraid of a big moment.
Yes.
It just might take a little longer with him than Gore, I think. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of not hitting, no one's talking about this big elephant. Maybe I'm overreacting, but what's up with Cronenworth? I mean, he's not even, like, fouling the ball. He's just swinging and missing and watch. It's wild.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, everyone loves Cronenworth, but
yeah, I love him to death. But what's happened?
It's hard when you don't have anybody protecting you in that lineup. Like, last year, last year you had Manny protecting you and Tatis in front of him. Now it's without Tatis. You know, Manny's getting all the attention. He's overcoming it, and Cronenworth has no one to protect him. I mean, Luke Voit behind you,
it's not working
Hosmer,
out for Voit.
Myers behind you. Yeah, yeah, it's just I mean, it's his third year in the bigs. Really, it's his second full year. So he's not like a seasoned vet. And yeah, he's great. Everyone loves him. He played multiple positions. But for me, like his swing, it just screams like it's not going to be one of those swings where it's going to go into massive slumps. And if he does like he is right now, it's fine. I think he can get out of it. I'm not too worried about Cronenworth.
Good. Yeah, I'll stay calm.
Stay calm. It's okay.
I think these are big seasons for him and Trent Grisham. It's they're at the age where it's like, I think the league overall is going to decide whether or not that they're going to be guys that people build teams with as pieces for the core of a team, or they're going to be guys who end up on six teams over the next 8 years. Like they're going to have careers. They're going to be in the league for a long time, but are they going to be guys that bounce around a lot? Or are they going to be significant pieces on a contender? You know, I think Trent Grisham has all the talent in the world, but you know, his defense has been amazing this year, but you know, I wonder what happens to him this year and what how the Padres view him in the off season and just if they're ready to, you know, commit to that. What do you think about Trent?
They're going to need him.
Yeah.
Because it's either him or Azucar right now.
Yeah.
I choose Trent Grisham, even though Azucar had a good game tonight. I think he had like a double RBI double. Yeah. It's just, you know, last year I remember Bobby Dickerson said before the season, he kind of called out Trent Grisham and was like, you know, yeah, he had a great 2020, but that was 60 games. This dude's never played a full 162 game season. And last year he just had a lot of ups and downs. I think he's just like a very streaky player. Like that's just who Trent Grisham is. He'll be very streaky at, you know, have 2 week stretches where he's hitting everything, walking a bunch, you know, looks great. And then he'll have stretches like he is right now where he's hitting like 130. And he can't get a hit for to save his life. So he's just a streaky player. I'm with you, man. I don't know if you can definitively say he's a guy and a piece on a team that can win a championship.
Hmm. Yeah, and we'll see. Yeah, I guess this whole season is just, you know, the conventional belief is that like the offense is going to struggle and the pitching is going to be amazing. The pitching has been amazing, and the offense is going to struggle until Tatis comes back. I think we all have to start looking at like, you know, the other reasons why the offense isn't working. I mean, I don't know that. What do you guys think is going to be the constant problem? Is it going to be the middle infield without Tatis? Is it going to be more, you know, Myers and Hosmer? I mean, Hosmer probably is going to fall off a cliff. But it just seems like everybody's afraid of the offense just going into the tank until Tatis comes back, which we don't know exactly when that's going to be. Travis, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem is the outfield. You know, Profar is surprising right now, and Myers
he's Babe Ruth right now.
Yes, yeah. And yeah. You know, Myers is I don't know if he's in his head or if he just doesn't care anymore or what, but it's pathetic to me, and I hate to use those kind of words, but someone that's making that kind of money is performing that way on the baseball field, or at least at the plate. And again, it's early, but so Myers is it's a huge question mark when he should be like an established solid player that you can count on all the time. And then the other side of the outfield is kind of still, you know, who knows what happened. Beatty, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
So like the most vanilla, I forget he's on the team half the time kind of guy. So I don't know. I think the outfield needs to be addressed for this team to go any further because, like I said, our infield, there's a lot of defense there. I should knock on wood here. We haven't committed an error yet and one out to go in the top of the ninth here. But yeah, our defense in the infield can make up for any lack of bats in the infield, but our outfield needs some more offensive output big time.
Yeah. This year is just it's going to be a struggle to watch. Like it just is. And I think people are just gonna have to accept that, to be honest with you. They're going to have to accept that they're not going to score a lot of runs. It's not going to look pretty. You're going to get moments from players. If Manny has an MVP type of season, that could help a lot of things with your lineup. But they're going to have to win with pitching and defense. Like that's just how they're going to have to win ball games. Because you're not going out and getting a big time bat right now. You know, you're not making any trades. And I also think it's kind of a little unfair to Tatis to be like, oh, as soon as Tatis gets back, everything's going to be fine. Like, it's like, who even knows how he's going to be when he gets back?
Yeah.
Because he's dealing with his wrist, and who the hell knows about his shoulder? So
and tripping over soccer balls. Come on.
Right. I mean, yeah, dude. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, he could fall down any second and break a bone. Like, it's to say, though, yeah, Tatis is going to come in on the white horse and white knight and be the saving grace to this offense. Like, he could, because he's that amazing. But if he doesn't, then you're still just going to have to deal with, okay, the offense isn't great. We're going to have to win with pitching and defense, and it might not look pretty, but hey, as long as they win, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, this offense, like this podcast, needs a little boost. Hey, we're joined by Dallas McLaughlin. Hey.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
What a welcome.
Yeah. Hey. Sorry.
Hey, no, it's okay. I was switching on my mic when you were halfway through that. So look at that. Already having technical difficulties. Much like the difficulties we're having in right field. Am I right, guys? Holy cow.
Well, you didn't even hear what we were talking about. You picked up exactly where we're at.
Yeah. Well, there's only one shining hole on this team anymore, and it's Will Myers. Maybe that extra L would have helped.
So we're just talking about, like, you know, not having Tatis. What do you think? What do you think the Padres are going to do to if the pitching holds? Do you think the Padres are going to be aggressive in trying to add a bat?
Yeah, I think they're going to add Tatis to the lineup.
That's a big bat. That's yeah, a big, yeah, big bat. Think,
no, they're not making any moves at all. I think AJ Preller has proven that he is a subpar GM. And no one really wants to work with him.
Yeah, it can't be trusted. No one trusts him anymore.
I mean, has he made one deal that you've been like, holy shit, look at that. Like, not really. Not really. Maybe Sean Manaea, but that felt like more like an offload case than anything else. He was able to get rid of a Pagan and Paddock, but I don't know. There's nothing about him says, I'm going to go out and get the best bat available. I mean, he got Mitch Moreland, for God's sakes, one year. Like, there's not.
He got Manny Machado.
He bought Manny Machado. Yeah. They bought Manny Machado. I don't know. I don't really care about AJ Preller anymore. I'm kind of over the whole rock star thing. To me, he's Steve Winwood at best when it comes to rock and roll.
Whoa. So he's amazing, is what you're saying.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, honestly, I don't think they're going to add anything. I think we should trade Tatis. Just get him off the roster. Let him go hurt himself playing soccer somewhere else.
Yeah, can we dive into that a little bit more? The soccer thing is mind-boggling to me. Like, the accident and the fact that he's injured was mind-boggling enough given his contract that just happened. And he's got to know somewhere, like, how important he is to this city and people in their late 40s now looking at death in the eye without a Padres championship. And how he might be the only thing to ever bring that. And then to see him at the stadium, like, aggressively playing soccer the way he did. And I get it. I get it. I the youthful, like, sportsman. But he can't. They got to either shut down the media. They got to figure out no cameras on site. We cannot. Like, I'm going to have heart conditions here. Watching Tatis goof around and fall haphazardly when he's not playing baseball because of his wrist, which he just fell on haphazardly. I don't know. I feel like I'm going crazy. Well, I think the only one?
No. I mean, I think what's it might be a reflection of is more the fact that, like, he can go out there on the field and do that before a game, and nobody from the organization can say shit to him, right? Like, they don't have anybody who can say, hey, that's not a good idea.
Dude is bigger than the franchise. Like, yeah, that, it's not even a question right now. Tatis is bigger than the Padres. Bob Melvin kind of pushed back the other day, or he was like, yeah, that wasn't a good look.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Before the game. So, you know, someone talked to him because the last 2 days he hasn't been doing any soccer stuff. Because before that, it was like 5 straight days of soccer. So yeah, someone definitely talked to him. It's like, dude, you can go kick a soccer ball. I don't care, but don't try to act like you're like Messi or Ronaldo and like doing all these crazy soccer moves. Cause what he did, I mean, he could have easily like twisted his ankle or fell on his wrist, and he's not wearing a big cast. So it's not like it's fully protected.
And he's doing it with other huge 210 pound men on the, you know what I mean? It wasn't like he was alone either. Someone, he could have tripped. I don't know. It was all just,
well, it's,
I'm sure like the pharmacists in San Diego had anxiety, you know, prescriptions like through the roof that day. They couldn't fill them all. People were losing their mind when they saw that.
It's like a lack of judgment on so many people in the same space. Like, that's what's so weird to me. It's like all of those guys were playing with them and not one of them thought, ah, maybe not. Like, all of those people were on the field. Like, where were they, like, the upper management people who were just hanging out? Like, AJ Preller is always walking around the field. Like, I just don't understand how this many people were like, ah, fine. You know what I mean? Like in the, and it's like, don't, I'm not saying don't have fun. Have fun. But like, not in a way that you're going to hurt yourself more. How many times have one of us on this podcast right now taken a fall like that and then not been able to get out of bed for 3 days? Like
everybody.
Yes. It's like, and I know he's in much better shape than, you know, most of us, not Nick. I mean, Nick's in probably the best shape of his life right now, but like, Tatis is, you know, he's in great shape. He's 19 years old. But he, whatever, like, but still like like, it just is such a weird look. And I know that he's bigger than the Padres, but at the same exact time, like, he's played one full season. Oh, wait, no, he hasn't. A single full season. Yeah. Like, at some point, somebody needs to knock him in the back of the head and just play 150 games. If you can play 150 games, play soccer all you want, but you can't do it. Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand.
13 more years of this.
We'll trade him. There's no way he's a Padre for life. Not a chance.
I want fat Tatis at first base, who we make excuses for. I deserve that. That's what we, after the titles, like, you know, I want Albert Pujols on the Angels Tatis.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Where I'm real defensive and
At some point we will trade Tatis. They'll do like a sign and trade for Tatis. And like the Angels or like the Guardians or something like that. And they'll sign him. He'll be 35 and they'll sign him to a 10-year deal. Yeah. And he'll just keep gaining weight. I can't wait for that. Give it to him. And then maybe then he'll see how it feels to play soccer and fall down on the ground. You don't see Albert Pujols running around playing soccer. You nuts.
No, he's hitting bombs for the Cardinals. Yeah,
he is.
He did slim down. He looks pretty good this year.
He's at like 681 for home run. All time,
yeah, it's insane.
He's good. Albert Pujols is very good. I mean, DH in National League. Steroids made him that way, but yeah, whatever.
So
bring him back.
How has it been confronting having a DH in the National League so far? Do you guys notice it? Do you like it?
What was that rule that I was listening on the way home today? That thing happened where, like, with the Reds game tonight, Reds Padres game, where. Maybe you guys already covered this, so I apologize. But Stevenson got hurt. Their catcher got hurt.
Yes.
And then their other catcher was their DH in the lineup. But they had to, so he had to come play catcher. But in doing that, they had to then revert back to the old NL rules.
Yeah, because they moved the DH to a position player, and so you couldn't replace your DH with another just whatever. So
you can't replace with a bench guy.
Yeah, they couldn't do it. So you have to now take the DH spot and make it the pitcher spot, which was very weird. I know.
Does that happen in the AL if that ever happens?
I believe so. I believe it always happens. Like, if that happens where your DH has to replace a position player on
the
field.
The pitcher now becomes a – wow.
Yeah, then that spot becomes a pitcher spot. That's why the pitcher spot was fifth in the order tonight after Stevenson, the catcher, left the game because he got ran over by – Big boy Voit.
Voit, yeah.
That just made me really uncomfortable. I don't like it.
Then the Reds challenged the play, right? Whether it was a dirty slide or whatever. And if he.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
So I didn't know if they were like unclear on the rule as far as what happens there. And that's why they were phoning home back to New York to get clarification on how that works, because it's so bizarre. But Don Arcillo seemed to know exactly what to do from what was going on from his time maybe with Boston or whatever. But it was something I obviously never witnessed in the game before.
Yeah, it was very weird.
I loved it. I actually thought it was great that they had to go back to the old rules because they were stupid enough to put their backup catcher in as a DH for some dumb reason.
And then the pitcher's hitting fifth.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so, and luckily their pitcher was San Martin, I don't know how to say his last name, but who is, I think, 15 years old and probably has never held a bat in his life.
And then shout out to AJ Cassaville for reminding us all about that 16 inning game last year against the Dodgers, because he said that that was the last time a pitcher was in the five spot. And he put out an article on Twitter. I'm like, bro, I don't remember that game. That was the worst games ever.
That's amazing. See, that's what happens when you get paid to write about baseball. You got to write about something other than Tatis falling and hurting himself.
That is true.
Oh, man.
So we have the Dodgers coming. That's going to be interesting. Is anybody going to Petco this weekend?
Do you know how many times I've been offered Dodgers tickets and every time I turn them down? I don't step foot inside Petco when those dirty, horrible Dodgers fans are in town. They're horrible people. They're all drug dealers. I bet you guys didn't know that, but every Dodger fan, including Dave Pelle, is a drug dealer, and they're terrible people.
I'm just the opposite. I get as many of my season tickets switched over to the Dodger game so I can go to as many of them as possible, because they do sell the best drugs at those games. So I'm
so dumb.
No, but I think it's important to be like to push back. And now that we're in brown, I know that's such a trivial thing to most, but it feels like we can actually like push against, you can visually see the representation now, where before it was just this sea of navy-ish colors.
Blue,
yeah.
As long as we just have the energy of the fan that flipped off the Dodger fan last year, then we're good. That's fine with me.
Yes.
One of the best gifts of all time.
That is my favorite. That was my favorite moment gif of the 2021 season by far.
Just perfect brilliant.
Face. Yes.
Just brilliant.
Yeah.
I just hate being around Dodgers. Like, there's only one other fan base I know of that's more delusional than Dodgers fans, and that's the Cubs. And I can't go to like Cubs games, but like the Dodgers fan, like they literally think that in their mind, they've won the World Series every year for the past 20 years. It just doesn't make any sense what happens in a Dodgers fan's mind. And they spend all their lives just saying how much they don't care about the Padres. And in doing so, all they think about is the Padres. Like nothing, it doesn't make sense to me. I hate Dodgers. I can't be around them.
I think that a lot of them would rather just go to Petco than go to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, why are there so many Dodger fans at Petco Park this past like five games? Like, why?
Well, Dodger Stadium sucks.
That's true. That place is horrible. Yeah. And Dodger dogs are the biggest pieces of shit on the planet. I don't care. If anybody likes a Dodger dog, then I don't want to talk to you. Sorry. Yeah.
You got a Dodger dog. I got a giant hot dog to give you. Just give me the shittiest hot dog I can find. I'll make it longer and I'll give it to you. That's a Dodger dog.
That's exactly what it is. 100% agree.
There was a whole thing for years where it was like Dodger Stadium's the most beautiful stadium in baseball. And it's like, it's not. I'm sorry. Like, that's like saying the old Tomorrowland at Disneyland was the most beautiful theme park you've ever been to. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Dodger Stadium sucks. There's like fence, there's chain link fence everywhere. Like, what are we doing?
Don't knock Mission to Mars. That's the best ride ever.
You got me there. Mission to Mars was fantastic. I hate that. I just don't get it. Unless you're wearing an Eric Karros jersey, just don't talk to me.
Eric Karros. Go on. Yeah.
The only real Dodger in the last 30 years.
I hate when he calls the games for the National. Ugh.
Do you guys think that they should change up their pitching rotation this weekend? So it should be Darvish, Manaea, Musgrove for Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Because they can do that. Everyone's on regular rest.
Yeah, I think that's probably the ideal situation, right? I mean, three games, we had a statement series. They're in first place, by the way. The Dodgers I thought they were struggling at first, but then they.
It's like their run differential is like already like plus 70. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Nuts. They're 8-2.
Yeah, it's already happening.
I think a bigger statement would just to be put Nick Martinez out there. We don't give a shit about you, Dodgers.
Nick Martinez will have Clevinger come back off his rehab stint then have Nabil Chrismet on Sunday night. Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll have Lament try to give another try at a start. Right? Yeah, Lament. He's always eating the Dodgers alive. We'll dust this guy off for you.
That's the problem is that we'll change up our rotation and put our best guys out there, and then they'll throw every game. They'll just throw some stupid bullpen arm, and that guy will pitch a shutout every time again as us, and we'll look like the idiots. I don't like that. Yeah. Give me Nick Martinez. Who's the other guy that's pitching for us right now? Who took Snell's spot?
Sure.
Gore, thank you. Gore, see, I thought throw Gore at him. I'd love about, to Gore at him. That'd be so great.
Gore goes Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. I'm not paying attention. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow Wednesday?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
It's the weekend.
I don't know the days anymore. Yeah.
I have a one-year-old that's teething. There's nothing that makes sense to me right now.
Right? Yeah.
I don't even know who Mackenzie Gore is.
We can find out tomorrow at 1:10, Dallas.
I was going to go to the game tomorrow. I almost went to the game tomorrow. I'm bummed I didn't. I love the Reds, but God, are they hard to watch.
Mm. So they're bad, right? The Padres are not good. The Reds are just really bad, right?
They've beat up on some, you know, they beat the Diamondbacks and the Reds, but, you know, that's what you need to do, right?
You got
to
beat the shitty teams. If you don't beat the crappy teams, you're not going to the postseason. Like, that's what they haven't done the past decade.
I know.
Very true.
Yeah, it's like they somehow show up for the Dodgers and then they lose six straight to the Diamondbacks and Rockies.
Right. Yeah, it's like, can you guys beat up on the crap teams before anything, and then that's how you get to the postseason?
Like, well, it's also like a way for them to find their rhythm. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
getting the groove,
get some confidence.
Yeah, exactly. And they are. I mean, like, listen, they've been swinging the bat great versus the Reds, which they should do, because I don't think the Reds have a pitcher that's past AAA right now. Like, who pitched yesterday for the Reds?
Lodolo, is that how you say it?
Who knows?
He looks good. I think he's going to be.
L-O-D-O-L-O.
He's a baby, though. He's young.
Listen, as a Reds fan since I was a young kid, I can tell you that they have, every year, they'll bring up five pitchers that are all 20 years old and they look amazing. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, they're 32 and they're all playing for, you know, Kansas City.
And well, Hunter Green's a beast, but they missed him this series, which is good.
Hunter Green's great. And I want the Reds to be good. The Reds should be good, but man, they just can't, they never can put it together. They'll always go to the playoffs and then get, you know, last time I think they were in the playoffs, they got no hit by the Cardinals. Maybe that's far too far back. I don't know, but they're just.
I think it happened one time. Roy Halladay.
Yeah. That was right. That's right. I don't know. I love the Reds. I love Joey Votto.
Who's also struggling.
I can't stand Joey Votto. I think he's.
Ugh. What's wrong with Joey Votto?
He has an annoying personality that just bothers me. I don't. Now he's on Twitter. I liked him better when he wasn't on. I thought it was cooler when he wasn't on Twitter. Now he's like, I'm doing bits. I don't. Anyways,
what's your favorite version of Tommy Pham? The San Diego Padres version or the Cincinnati Reds version?
I like pandemic Tommy Pham. You know, just letting us know what's going on in the world. Honestly.
Just showing up randomly in Gallagher Square, park. Like, do I have COVID? What?
That was a great night on the internet. I'll just say that was a good time.
Definitely.
I was working in Crete Mesa earlier today, and I just thought it was cool that they had cheetahs all blocked off so he could make an appearance later. That was fantastic.
Scrolling Twitter to find pictures of angles of Tommy Pham. Is he wearing a jumpsuit? What is he wearing? Why is he out there? Is he close to people?
Why is Kevin Acey talking to him? What is happening?
I just love that he's like, he's hitting all of a sudden in Petco Park. Like, that's a nice change for him.
I know.
Yeah, thanks for doing that while you were here.
It's personal.
What a mess. Already ran into another outfielder. What a mess. Tommy Pham's a mess. I wanted him to work out, so I'll be honest.
I mean, I was excited on when they traded for him. I was like, all right, we got somebody.
Yeah.
Turns out it wasn't. All right. Well, hey, Jim, thanks for coming on. We're going to get out of here, but Dallas, do you want to talk about the new post that's on the Kept Faith that every week?
This week in faith, right? That's what we're calling it.
Last week in faith.
We're basically
we're posting on Monday morning a recap of the entire week. I'm reviewing other Padres podcasts, which has been fun, and Dallas, some of them I haven't even heard. So that's pretty cool. But Dallas, you're also writing about, you're picking a tweet from the week and
tweet of the week. Yeah.
Expanding on it.
I'm expanding on tweets of the week. Yeah. It's pretty exciting. I will say, Jim, you've been great on Twitter. The last couple of seasons, you've really built this wonderful troll that doesn't troll persona. And oh, it's kind of fantastic to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of work sometimes to like think of stuff or like bookmark, like a funny thing, like, okay, this would be funny in this situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I just try to just be quirky as possible. Like, don't take it too seriously. Like, people take stuff way too seriously. And
yeah, Twitter's a wasteland and people just treat it as such.
Exactly. That's exactly how I treat it. So may have gotten my wrist slapped a couple times by a couple people, but you know what? It's okay.
Who, your work?
Not my work. I'll let you guys figure out who slapped my wrist.
Let's call him out. Listen, what station do you work at?
Extra 1360.
Listen, Extra 1360.
No, not them.
Don't worry. No. Listen, Jim, we're going to yell at them anyway. Extra 1360. What the hell?
Mighty 690.
Mighty, Jesus.
Yeah.
Get it together. Come on, Hacksaw.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. Read last week.
97.3 The Machine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, yeah.
What was that? My brain hurt a little bit.
Bro, guys, I go back to the OG 97.3 The Machine with Rich freaking Herrera.
Jim, that's where we met. That's where we first met.
It is where we met. Yes.
I was on one of the Padres radio podcasts. Dude. Unbelievable.
Where is good old Rich these days?
Richard is in Arizona.
Oh, good for him. Well, good. Then we can talk about it. That podcast, I've never had a harder time getting people to go on a podcast that was involved with the Padres flagship more than that podcast. Because I would just mention his name and people would be out immediately. It was so weird. Yeah. What a weird, weird guy. I remember Hansen. Did you ever meet Mike Hansen?
Yeah. Great guy. Love Mike Hansen.
I was there one time to do something and all we heard was Rich just screaming at people in an office.
Dude.
And then Hansen walked over and he just started laughing really hard. And then Rich walked out and Hansen laughed in his face. And I'm like, that's fantastic. I love Mike Hansen. Anyway,
it was a time that I try to forget.
Can we get audio of that? Is there any, like, is that just been scrubbed from the internet?
Oh my God. That'd be great if I still had that. I don't know where that would be.
I wonder I don't remember what it was called.
Padres
Social Hour?
It was like Padres Radio Podcast or something like that.
Something like that, man. I know.
But I sat across from Rich and I used the word tank and he was smiling and jovial the whole time. And I used the word tank. And he almost, I felt like he was about to jump across the desk and strangle me because I said that. But anyway.
Yeah, he had this. Anyway, we don't have to listen.
He's
in Arizona where he belongs. All those
it was a different time. It was a different time.
Different time.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Jim, thanks for coming on.
We
check out your show, John and Jim, on 1360. And so the YouTube show, tell people how they can find that. Just on YouTube under...
Yeah, it's
I listen to it on the podcast, so
right. Yeah, we were doing it on the radio, but that just got super hard to do after games, and like he has a wife and a kid. I was in a relationship, like it was just very, we weren't even the flagship and we're doing this. It was very stressful. so yeah, we moved to the YouTube because it's easy just to do it at home. So yeah, just YouTube Padres wrap up show. It's on my Twitter. Click the link there and yeah, so it's all there.
Awesome.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll check back in maybe after the Dodgers series, see how everybody feels about that and if you know how the drugs were that we bought at the games.
Yes.
And
I'll report.
Just you know, whatever you take, just know your dealer and
yes.
And,
know and, your dealer.
And your write dealer. Write down what you're feeling, you know, on your journey. So,
bring your sketchbook.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
And make sure. And if they have a Trevor Bauer jersey on, it might be Trevor Bauer. So be careful what you take from him.
Yes. The only one wearing a Bauer jersey nowadays is Bauer.
Bauer.
All right. All right. Well, guys, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Go Padres.